Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. What a beautiful morning we've got going on. It's going to be, well, isolated showers this morning before noon. That's the forecast. But sunny otherwise. High near 78. Breezy, of course. The east-northeasterlies are 13 to 17 miles per hour, gusting to as high as 24. Chance of precipitation is 20%. And tonight, isolated showers after midnight, partly cloudy, low around 70, breezy, east-northeasterlies, about 16 to 22, chance of precipitation, 20%. So now, you don't like Saturday? How about Sunday? Yeah, we've got some isolated showers before noon, mostly sunny, high near 79, breezy still, those east-northeasterlies, 15, gusts to 21. Chance of precipitation about 20%. So those are your odds going on the golf course. It sounds like it's going to be a great day. Maybe a little rain, you know, jacket or something to stuff in your bag just in case. And where can we play? Okay, Volcano, 832, 924, 1048. That's on the Big Island. And Makalei has an 840, a 920, excuse me, a 952, 1106. The Bushmen are out on the golf course. Where do we get all these names, you know? I'm not making them up. Poipu, Kauai, there's an 1130 and a 1230. Oahu at Pearl at Kalaau, there's an 852, a 918, a 1024. And the executive women are on the golf course. Hawaii Kai has a 910, a 1040, a 1208. Turtle Bay, 856, 910, 1106. The Sandbaggers are on the golf course. You'll want to get on first, okay? And then Raw Hawaiian Country Club, 830, 920, 1020. We've also got at Eva Beach an 852 or a 1028. Nice golf course. Bayview, 9 o'clock, 1050. You know, I'm not sure. The Dog Pounder is out. You know, those guys, gee whiz. Get them out of the pound. And Wailea Gold Course, 1040, 1110, 12 o'clock. Emerald, 840, 940, 1120. Blue Course, 850, 950, 1110, 1240. And how about at Maui Nui, 852, 906, and 10 o'clock. And how about a really great show? We've got Mark Rolfing in the house right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range, warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your kids to play golf. The game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Iwilei next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Thank you so much. And Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel and NBC Sports golf commentator and analyst and host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure, remember? Member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame in 2000, member DePaul University Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark Rolfing.
Well, thank you for having me, Danielle. Good morning, everybody out there.
Yeah, and you know, while we're thinking to the Masters, there's so much going on, but I really want to start off with what the Golf Writer Association of America, yes, they have their award season, and which is right now, and there are three very deserving winners to be honored by the GWAA at the Masters dinner. At the Masters dinner, Stacey Lewis will receive the Murray Award for exceptional media cooperation, quotability, and communication in pro golf. Bud Cauley is going to get the Ben Hogan Award for overcoming serious injury and returning to the PGA Tour successfully. car crash left him with five broken ribs, broken left leg, collapsed lung. Boy, fought through that one. And now, drum roll, please. Not very good on the drums there. Hawaii's own Mark Rolfing, known as golf's Mr. Hawaii, will receive the GWAA, Golf Writers Association of America, William D. Richardson Award, given annually since 1948 to someone who consistently made an outstanding contribution to golf. His Mr. Hawaii moniker is for his connection to the PGA Tour. The two stops here in Hawaii, Mark Rolfing is known for his Grow the Game initiatives, his compassion, and the at the forefront of recovery efforts following the 2023 Maui wildfires that, of course, destroyed the town of Lahaina. Mark Rolfing, congratulations. I am so happy for you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm still a little bit overwhelmed by it, I will tell you, Danielle. I didn't expect it. You know, there's three other awards that are being given that night, and Scottie Scheffler is going to be there. He gets the Player of the Year. Gina Titicoon, who is the LPGA Player of the Year, and Stuart Sink, the Senior Player of the Year. So it's going to be quite a night. The great thing about it was it's not something that they just give you. It was actually a nomination and a vote. And I had some pretty tough competition I was against. And a lot of people, I guess, decided that maybe I had done something somewhere along the way that recognized this award. And so I'm overwhelmed by it. And it's going to be a great night.
I loved it when I was talking to Mark Rolfing before, you know, this past week, and he said, "I'm going to be on the stage with Scottie Scheffler."
I'll be looking up at him. I know that. He's a little bit taller than me.
But yeah, that's so fantastic. I am so happy for you. You just so well deserved. I mean, all the work you've done in Hawaii, making sure everybody's happy at the Sony, at the Century, just being an ambassador. You've given tirelessly to this game and to the state of Hawaii, and we really, 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 really appreciate you. And of course, you know, it leads me to have to ask, have you heard anything about the Sony? You know, I hate to even say the Century. Anything going on there?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I am involved in the discussions. I can tell you that. I'm not quitting yet. I'm not done yet with what I am trying to accomplish. And my hope is that we can still make something happen for 2027. You probably heard Brian Rolapp, the new CEO of the PGA Tour Enterprises. You heard his speech at the Players a few weeks ago, and that all has kind of been slowed down by the Tiger Woods car accident of last week.
Yes,
because Tiger is the chairman of the Future Competitions Committee. He's now in Switzerland at a treatment center, so that's the good news. But the bad news there is it's going to delay things a little bit. I think I'll find out a lot at the Masters this coming week. We have heard unofficially that the American Express tournament in Palm Springs is going to happen the third week in January, which means that any discussion about not starting until Super Bowl week or after the NFL is done is going down the drain, because the third week in January is the NFL playoffs.
Right on.
yeah. So if that's the case, then to me, that really reopens a discussion for the potential of playing at least the Sony Open the second week in January. That's the hope there.
Okay, yes, yes.
Now, the Century's a different situation. They are in a really tough spot right now. They cannot play in Maui. There's still water restrictions and the litigation going on there. So there is going to be no Century tournament on Maui, and they have to find a place to fit into the schedule. I think the most likely scenario is Chicago,
wow,
which is very close to their headquarters. one of the things that Brian Rolapp said was that he, one of his big goals is to go into the major markets. If you look at the PGA Tour, it's interesting. They are not in really any of the major markets in America. They're not in New York. They are not in Boston. They're not in Chicago. They're not in Philadelphia. You know, they're in smaller places. That's the way the PGA Tour was started. In more localized places, and certainly places like Hawaii. So I think now one of the big pushes is going to be, if you're going to compete with the NFL and the other big sports leagues, you got to get into the big markets. So I know that's Brian Rolapp's just about number one priority.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. You know, that we're not in that golf, professional golf, isn't in big markets. Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, if you're going to play with the big guys, you're going to have to get into the big crowds. And I would love them just to stay in small markets, too, because it makes it feel, I don't know, just a little bit more homey, you know?
And the reason that does, Danielle, if you think about it, golf was the only not-for-profit major sports
yes.
up until last year. And the smaller markets are the ones where the charities really shine, as was the case on Maui, and as is the case on Oahu. But now that the PGA Tour has become a for-profit, they are no longer a not-for-profit. They are now a for-profit, just like the NFL and just like the NBA and just like all the other big leagues. As a for-profit, the charitable aspect, I think, is going to be secondary to generate, you know, revenue and money for their investors.
Yeah, that and, you know, these purses that are being given away, so to speak, you know, $9 million, that's a huge sum. And, of course, they deserve to earn.
It's not sustainable, I'll tell you that, because these purses are not going to be $9 million. They're going to be $20 million.
Dang.
And so to think about that, I will tell you, if the Sony Open does happen in 2027 in Hawaii, it's going to look different than the old Sony Open.
Wow.
You know, which was a full field, event that had a good field, but certainly not a great field and not a star-studded field. But if the season opener were to be in Hawaii the second week in January, which is my hope, it would be a big event. It'd be a much bigger event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, everybody like Scottie Scheffler, the family, the kids, they want to come to Hawaii. They enjoy coming over here, I think, because the family has so much to do while they're working. It's a great place to come and vacation. So let's hope that happens. And I thank you so much for all the work you're doing. Some people say, I don't want to talk about Tiger Woods, but I want to talk about Tiger Woods for just a minute. I'm glad to know what country he's in. It's a good place to be. I lived there for a while with my grandmother. Switzerland is lovely. People are much less, inquisitive about what's going on. I'm sure he's got a lot of international and national people who are over there trying to get more information. But it's a good place to, as he says, I'm committed to taking the time needed to return in a healthier, stronger, and more focused place, both personally and professionally. I appreciate your understanding and support and ask for privacy for my family, my loved ones, and myself at this time. I was absolutely shocked, aghast. The last time he did this, he almost lost a leg, an entire leg. I sure hope they have somebody, a shrink, who can really work with this man. Something's going on wrong in his world.
Well, there is for sure. There's a pattern here. There's no question about it. And I think there's a pretty simple solution to what's going on here. The first is he needs a pretty intense treatment, which I think he will get over there. I think it's going to last You know, it could be 60 days, could be 90 days, could be longer. But there's a key element here, as far as I'm concerned, Danielle, and that is that I believe Tiger needs to give up his quest to ever play competitive golf again. He's had so many surgeries. He has so many issues that as he pushes his body harder and harder to try to get himself ready, which he was trying to do to get ready for the Masters, his body simply cannot take it anymore. And because of that, he is in so much pain and has so many problems in trying to recover on a daily basis from all the prep work and stuff that he gets in, that he is forced to take all the painkillers. And I think that would never change if he is trying to get himself ready to compete with Scottie Scheffler.
I really
don't think that is a viable path going forward for Tiger. I'm truly of the opinion that Tiger Woods' legacy on the golf course has already been written. He played the greatest golf of all time. Is he the greatest player? I don't know. It's pretty close between he and Jack Nicklaus.
Right.
But I will tell you this. Where his legacy is not written is off the golf course. Part of it's written, and a lot of it isn't very good. And if you remember his dad saying Tiger could change the world and he could really do something monumental for the people of this earth, I think he could. And I think if he focused solely the second part of his life on helping people and trying to convince everybody that they shouldn't do what he did, and they should stay away from these painkillers and all the things that he has been through, and don't drive a car, you know, when you're in that situation. His messaging could be extremely powerful, and I hope that's the direction he goes.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the, when it happened, the day it happened, it was like, why is he driving? He can afford a driver. He can afford a driver. I'm like, everybody, why does he not have a driver? It was just,
you know, it's not that unusual. you see a lot of older people that feel a certain amount of independence if they can drive a car.
Yes.
And Tiger, for Tiger's entire career, he has driven a car.
Yes.
To every tournament. He loves driving. He puts his caddy in the passenger seat and he drives. It should be the other way around.
Yes, I totally understand it. It's like, I understand. Can you imagine if you are as driven as Tiger Woods is, what damage to his ego, to his brain, I mean, his emotional, mental aspect of his being, that his body can't do it anymore. That must be so frustrating to him, because he was always the master of the universe, in control. I can do this. I can't. And that must...
No, but that's what treatment's going to do for him,
exactly.
Daniel. This will be a comprehensive treatment, I hope.
Yes.
I pray that it is.
Yes.
And he'll be in there. He'll be in there, and he won't have a phone, and he won't be tweeting, and he won't be texting, and he won't be doing all the things that he did before, supposedly, when he was at a treatment center or whatever.
Right.
This will be a pretty intense treatment, because it's pretty clear that he has got an issue that needs to be resolved. And then every aspect of his life needs to be dealt with here.
Absolutely. All right. So much, you know, there's nothing we can do. We can just give, you know, prayers and love and support and hope everything comes true. But we got something really exciting to talk about right now. Yes, indeed, Mark Rolfing, because Michelle Wee West is coming out of retirement to play the 2026 U.S. Women's Open at Riviera Country Club this June. I'm so excited.
I don't even know what to say. I'll tell you, she's just been on the Golf Channel. I wish I was at the Masters right now, because I'd love to have been on that set with her.
Uh-huh.
But it's right now the Augusta National Women's Amateur, so they've got a whole different crew down there. But I thought she was fabulous. I think it's totally appropriate. I love the fact that she is doing this. And I will tell you, I was there on the call for NBC at the Women's Open at Pinehurst when she won. And I think of my entire career. I think about my really nervous moments. That was certainly in the top five. That was, you know, in the category of the Arnold Palmer interview I did at Oakmont after his final U.S. Open round and things like that. But I was just so concerned that something was going to go wrong on that last nine holes with Michelle. And I was saying things like, man, this is the most important golf hole she's ever played. Or, you know, this decision is monumental. And I couldn't believe she tried to hit the shot at the 16th hole, for example, that she ended up kind of whiffing and not really getting anywhere. And I thought she's going to make a double or a triple. I was just so nervous. And she came through it so well. I'm so proud of her. And I think she deserves to go back and play in Riviera. And I think it's going to be great for the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I was like, Michelle, you should go be yay. You know, it's so exciting. I'm looking at the leaderboard now. And it's just interesting how tight it is and how many different countries are represented. It's great to see how the LPGA is doing and all the women from around the world are competing at such a high level. And it's absolutely fabulous. I was looking at this and the odds of making a hole in one hover around 12,000 to one. The odds improve to 3,000 to one or so for the elite golfer. So they don't have it really all that much better than we do.
No, there's a lot of luck involved in a hole in one, I'll tell you.
And then the Masters is starting. Are you, you know, what are you going to be doing during the Masters?
Well, you know, I'm going to really be focusing on this award as much as anything. I am doing a one-on-one interview on the Golf Channel on Wednesday afternoon. That's going to be around, let's see, it's at 1:15 Eastern, so 7:15 in the morning on Wednesday, I'll be on there on the Golf Channel, and I'll be making lots of appearances around town, but I'm not actually going to have any role in the Masters telecast itself, because things have really changed there now, and they're televising the par 3 tournament, so ESPN is on all day. After I'm on there on Wednesday, and Prime Network is now televising early hours of the Masters Thursday through Sunday. So there's not as much space anymore for live for the Masters on Golf Channel. So basically, I'm just going down there for a pretty short period of time, and when I talk to you next Saturday, I'll be back in Montana.
Yeehaw! Yip-yip yahoo, and you're going to be on next Saturday. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for telling me that.
Yes, I will.
Yes, sir. Okay, Mark Rolfing, thanks so much for taking time with us. It's always fun talking with you. Thank you.
You got it, Danielle. I'll talk to you next week.
Aloha. All right, we're coming back. We're going to be on the road. Yes, we're going to that beautiful golf course, Mid-Pacific Country Club, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me, what
is up? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Well, it finally stopped raining, sort of, kind of, right? It just, it keeps drizzling in, you know, just when you think it's safe to go out. And then all of a sudden, you know, wow, where did all those raindrops come from? Well, it's, more's coming next week. I'm not really looking forward to it. Got to, you know, keep sweeping out the lanai, keep the water from coming in. But to help you through all of this chaos called weather, Aloha Power Kona Low Sale has Honda generators and pumps and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers at more than 25 or at least up to 25% off. That's a huge savings. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You know, you mow it, you blow it, you bag it, you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Haas, General Manager, COO, Mid-Pacific Country Club, a beautiful private club in Lanikai. Spectacular views. It opened in 1926. Seth Rayner. Design. How long was he here in Hawaii? I mean, there's several Seth Rayners, but this one, you know, when you go to Mid-Pacific Country Club, it's just mind-boggling what you can see. All the views are spectacular. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you? It's a lovely morning.
Oh, it's...
And that morning to Rick, too, next to you probably, right?
No. Yes. Actually, I'm in the studio, and he's working from the other studio.
Actually, I just saw the commercial for Aloha Powers equipment. I could use a lot of this equipment here on the golf course.
Right?
Especially the pumps.
The pumps. Tell us, how's it holding up?
It's holding up well. I mean, we finally opened up last Saturday. We were actually closed for almost over a week with the rain we had.
Right.
And we still have a few fairways which are very saturated, but people out there enjoying a beautiful round of golf here at the club.
I bet. The view is amazing. What's special about Seth Rayner?
Oh, it's a renowned golf course architect, you know, and I know he came to Hawaii, you know, to do the other course, I think on the other side of the island. I don't know what it was called, like Wailea or something.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he was here, you know, some people went over to see him and brought him over to this side, to Lanikai, and he did his course. So he did both courses at the same time. So,
wow.
And we all know that he has wonderful courses on mostly on the east side of the United States.
Yeah, but he came to Hawaii and he spent some time here. He really enjoyed doing this. And look at 1926 is when...
Well, actually, what's special about it is this last course he did before he passed away.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, so it's almost that time of the year, right? I mean, we're going to get through next week with some rain again coming. But we've got the mid-pack open. So when is the mid-pack open?
We are ready
open?
For it.
When is it?
So it's April 23rd to the 26th, so a couple of weeks from now, with the Pro-Am being on Wednesday, April 22nd, which we're always looking forward to both the Pro-Am and the tournament. And as you know, the Mid-Pacific Open was established in 1956, so that's almost 70 years. And this one would be the 67th Mid-Pack Open because a couple of times they were not played, including 2020, you know, so... But this is a great tournament. I love the tournament, especially what it stands for the local amateurs and pros. We have a few of our members play in the tournament, but it's really nice to see the pros from all around the islands come together here and get up there, tee up on hole number one, and have some great golf here.
So that's for the Mid-Pack Open, right? Is
correct.
And now what about the Pro-Am? Can people who aren't really good, I mean, they're good, you know, but they're not top-ranked kind of players? Can they play in the
Most
Pro-Am?
Most times the Pro-Am is for our sponsors.
Ah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
Yeah. Okay. But it's good to come out, you know. Again, right now it's beautiful out here. This is a great weekend with Easter weekend. And hopefully next week's not going to impact us too much. But one thing for sure, it's going to be a different experience than for the last few years because our roughs are rough.
Oh, did you do that on purpose?
No, we cannot get in to mow as much, but at the same time, yes, we do on purpose because, as you know very well, Jason Amoy, who's our superintendent, he has fun with the greens, and with all this rain, it's a little bit harder to do, and he's very disappointed and upset because he cannot do his magic to get everybody frustrated with our greens. So, but he's going to do it with our roughs now.
Okay. Jason, you know, I love how he works. You please say hi for me, okay?
I will.
You've got a centennial celebration. You know, 1926 is when it opened. So 100 years later, here we are. What are you going to do?
100 years later, that's correct. We do different stuff during the year, but our big party is on May 2nd, Saturday, May 2nd, because the official day of the club is May 5th, 1926. So I guess in 1926, they didn't celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Ah.
So we are doing it on May 2nd. So we have a big party scheduled here at the club, you know, expecting about 400 to 500 of our members to come out and having a good time here at the club.
Excellent. Fantastic. And good food and good wine and good fun, right?
All around the club, everything. So we want to take a lot of pictures, a lot of take some pictures and testimonials, because we want to make sure all those things are ready for the next 100 years when the next party is.
Exactly.
They all know what we did here and how we partied here in 2026.
That's beautiful. Now, let's go back to the storm cleanup. I mean, that must have been a real challenge for everybody, the crew.
It was. I mean, again, the course did very well. I mean, we did the bunkers a few years ago, and we don't have any swimming pools in the bunkers except a couple holes, which had a little bit of slow draining, but the bunkers held up very well. The fairways held up very well, but there was a point where Mother Nature gave us so much that the course couldn't handle it, how much water came down.
I
so
bet.
We had about 24 inches come since about, you know, 2 week span from right before Friday the 13th. Was actually Thursday, April 12th, it started, and we were closed that weekend because of how much water we had. And just to give you an idea, we were open right after on Tuesday, after the weekend we were closed of the rain, because the course drained so very well. But then the next weekend came, as we all know, and more rain came down. And basically from that weekend on, we were closed all the way to the following weekend because our course could not drain as quickly as it did the week before.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, everything is saturated right now with the rain that's forecast Wednesday, Thursday. It's like, yes, we're still saturated and we probably can't take much more. So everybody, please be ready just in case it comes down hard. We don't know how much. We don't, you know, it's just something we have to be ready for. That's the bottom line. So
right.
You've been around the world. You've been all around. Carmel, you've been U.S. mainland, of course. You're from Austria. Do you go traveling much to look at what other courses are doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I was very fortunate, as you keep a funny accent, yes, I'm from Austria, but I was very fortunate to work in some great clubs. Started off at Desert Mountain in Scottsdale, Arizona, which that was my first exposure to private clubs, because I came from the resort side of it, including here in Hawaii in the 80s and 90s when I was working for Sheraton, Hilton, and Hyatt. But when I went to Arizona, I had a headhunter talk to me, a family friend, said, hey, have you ever thought about working in private clubs? And I said, don't know much about it. So he had a job up there at Desert Mountain, and I drove up there, and actually I turned around because it was so far away that I said, it couldn't be where it is because he talks so highly of it and stuff. But they told me next time I'd ask questions, just keep going till you can't go any further, and there we are.
Wow.
And I was there for 10 years, and I was able to help open up three of their six, now seven golf courses, which is Apache, Chiricahua, and Outlaw. And that was a great experience. And talk about tournaments, we had the Tradition over there, which, you know, is one of the Masters tournaments there, which was fun to do. So,
yes.
Then, as you know, I went to Vegas, I went to California, you know. I worked at that club called the Santa Lucia Preserve, which is 20,000 acres. You know, that's a totally different ballgame. So, yeah, I was very fortunate.
Yes, absolutely. And then when you came to Hawaii, didn't you work in the resorts, like with Sheraton, Hyatt, and lots of...
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I was able to work at Moana Surf Rider, Sheraton Waikiki, Hilton, Hawaiian Village, and the Hyatt Regency Waikiki, so... But I was mostly the food and beverage side at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And you must really enjoy your position right now.
I mean, as you know, my office, you know, yes. I mean, I'm very fortunate, and I'm looking at both sides, you know, the Kualoa Mountains and the Mokulua Islands, and anybody who comes into my office, and first of all, they talk about the zen it has in my office, but the view, I'm very spoiled, and you're right, I can look at a golf course, you know, as you know, our golf holes come back to the clubhouse, so 1, 9, 10, and 18, you know, so it's just a beautiful backdrop to have. And yes, I'm spoiled.
Yeah. And I like your accent. Ron Haas, General Manager, COO, Mid-Pacific Country Club. How do you become a member?
How you become a member? You know, first of all, it's supposed to be invitations only. But, you know, in Hawaii, everybody knows everybody, you know. So it's just talk to your neighbor. Maybe they're probably a member here. And just call us and we'll give you a tour. And I think it's, as soon as you step in, if you have not stepped in into this club, you fall in love with it because you can't beat the setting we have here and you can't beat the course, especially right now after this rain. It is green, as lush as it can be.
Yes.
And it just looks beautiful out there right now.
Fantastic, Ron. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse with us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Have a great morning.
Aloha. We're going to talk with some guys right now about Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. You want to get your kids in early, into the game. It's really good for them. You know, people say, oh, I don't golf. Why not? I mean, it's just sticking a ball. You're out with friends. You chit-chat. You just, you relax, you know. Kids, in the case of kids learn so much about behavior. And, you know, yeah, I've said this before, but it's a really important part of growing up. Learning how to be in a group of people, 4, 3, whatever it is, and know when it's your turn. Not just to play, but to talk. When it's your turn to be quiet. You know, it's all of those things. It's hard to teach when you're being the parent. But when you're with your kids, get together and there's a couple of people around monitoring just a little bit, and they might step in and say, well, you know, that's the kind of thing, because you learn so much from people. Not necessarily you're fighting your parents all the time. Remember that? Yeah, I know. It's hard to remember that because, of course, we were all perfect children. But yes. So I really recommend that you get into it. And we'll be talking with Hawaii State Junior Golf Association's first tee program manager, Jared Yim, and HSJGA operations manager, Connor Weber, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a 9. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. and we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ah, you know, while I'm waiting to get the notification that everybody's in, because we're waiting for this phone system to wake up. Sure, Danielle, everything is fine. What is not fine is something that you might be, I don't know, maybe don't know this. Maybe, you know it and you don't want to hear about it. But controversy and posturing. That's been about the USGA and RNA's announcement that golf balls are expected to be rolled back in 2030 via a change in the distance test. It's been the conjecture of some that average golfers would be unnecessarily, like me, unnecessarily penalized, like back in the days of Bellotta balls and Sansevieria slacks. I don't think I wear Sansevieria slacks, but I understand about Bellotta balls. Others have no less, they've suggested distance is the root of all evil and limiting equipment is long overdue. And apparently there's very little middle ground. Everybody's arguing about the same thing on each side, we don't need to do this. Everything's fine. Others are saying, hey, the ball's going so darn far now. I mean, this is crazy. How much longer does a golf course have to be? It's expensive to keep up a gigantic golf course. Now, the PGA of America and certain manufacturers are adamantly against the idea. Don't blame them. Suggesting, as David Marr, the CEO of Titleist, has put it, existing golf ball regulation is effective, rollback is unnecessary, and not in the best interest of golfers. Okay, so there's two different sides to the story, right? At least two. Philosophy aside, the rule isn't so simple, he says. And I quote here, we know, and we'll keep sharing this, high-speed players, high-launch players are affected one way. Low-speed, low-launch, low-spin players are affected another way. Meanwhile, in the other camp, USGA CEO Mike Wan has been pounding the streets to tell everyone that although the rollback will directly impact the distance elite professional male golfers hit the ball, the average recreational players might not notice it at all, calling it a nothing burger. Okay, fine. It's a nothing burger. I've never heard that before, but that's cute. Okay, here we go. It's time for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And I'm looking forward to having Jared Yim for the First Tee Hawaii and Connor Weber for HSJGA, both inside the clubhouse. We're going to take Jared first, starting off with the First Tee, because, of course, the kids. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jared Yim, Hawaii Program Manager, First Tee Hawaii.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning. Happy to be on.
I'm glad to have you. Now, the First Tee mission statement, to impact the lives of young people by providing educational programs that build character and instill life-enhancing values through the game of golf. You know, I sing this song a lot, but I'd like to hear it from you. That's a couple of, not even a couple, it's one sentence. Tell us what that means to you.
Personally to me, it means helping develop our youth, our next generation, to become positive, impactful leaders and even citizens, just regular citizens, as they get older. And I think we at First Tee do an amazing job of blending those things into the game of golf, because golf can be a lifelong sport, and we're trying to instill that love for it as well. And golf has that amazing ability to bring all of those things together.
You know, I'm always saying things like when you get your kids enrolled in First Tee, they're young. They you know, you may have tried to teach them, but then they're with kids, all, you know, and the energy, the excitement, it's like, you know, they're in their own little world. But I say the kids learn when to talk, when not to talk, how to behave, you know, not to get into arguments. Tell me about that.
Yeah, like we said, we provide these skills through our key commitments. So it's things like respecting others. So if someone, you know, maybe there's a disagreement about where the ball finished during a game or on the golf course, and they're able to kind of work through that with little to no help from myself or one of the other coaches that we have.
Cool.
At First Tee.
That's so cool. They do it themselves.
Yes, that is our end goal.
Right. But you're there for the beginning for somebody who's just starting and doesn't know all the social skills. That I suppose, yep, that's the best way to put it. You know, is and I think it's hard for parents to teach social skills because kids don't want to listen to their parents. But
right.
kids will listen to kids. That's and pretty soon, you know, one that maybe it's been around a little bit longer, and they can step in and help the new person kind of get the feel for it, and then it's not embarrassing.
Yeah, totally. Peers definitely listen better to peers. Kids listen better to kids. So we do have a number of kids that, as they progress through the program, we almost view them as like mini half coaches, where they can know what the expectations is, and they remind them, they remind others, like, hey, you're not supposed to wave your club around your head.
Good point. That's very good. So, you know, I have a list, and I want to get through all of them because I know I assume I know these things, but I don't. What is First Tee Hawaii?
Like we said in our mission statement, it's to help impact. So we provide programs to our kids. So we have a couple of new offerings coming up in 2026 now, my goodness. That we're taking some registrations right now. We have 5-week sessions coming up. Most of them will start as early as next week.
Wow.
And they're really, really cool classes, like I said, through the game of golf. So the kids are having as much fun as they are learning.
And that's fantastic. So the new sessions are starting this month, and that's how do we, you know, sign up?
All right. If you want to sign up, visit firsttheehawaii.org. We have on three islands right now. We have sessions on Oahu. We've got sessions on Maui. We've got sessions at Keakuna on Kauai.
Excellent. So all you need to do is, how do they get in touch with First Tee? What's the best way to contact you?
Right. So firsttheehawaii.org is our main website, or they can contact us through the website, or contact myself, get in touch with First Tee and HSJGA.
Excellent.
Calling in on our office phone number.
Excellent. Do you have, what is that number?
Our phone number
is
808-532-0559.
Excellent. 808-532-0559. That's a pretty good one to remember. Yes, I'll say it again. 532-0559. New sessions starting this month. And you have some new offerings for this coming up.
Yeah, we have a really cool offering starting next week on Maui and on Oahu. On Wednesday, we'll be at the Dunes at Maui Lani.
Oh, yeah.
And on Saturday, we'll be at Lelehua Golf Course here on Oahu. We have our first ever First Tee Hawaii Skills Clinics. These are golf skill clinics. So we have our LPGA and PGA professional or associate professionals that will be running these clinics that are going to teach more about the golf swing and some of the swing mechanics in a group style setting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do the boys and girls play together?
They'll be together and in groups. They'll have kind of a smaller group, so whatever total number we have, we'll break them down into smaller groups, and each of those groups will have a dedicated coach to really work with them for about an hour.
That's fabulous. You guys work hard. It's not easy. I know, and not, you know, kids aren't always easy. They're not supposed to be easy. They're supposed to challenge us, right? That's the whole bottom line. But you need more coaches and more volunteers. How do we do that? How can we help?
Yeah, totally. We need more people. We need more bodies because we're hoping to grow this program. And as this program is growing, we need more adults to help guide. So if you have a passion for golf and you want to help impact our youth, again, you can get in contact with us through our website, firsttheehawaii.org. You can email us, info@hsjga.org, or you can use that phone number that we just gave you and get in contact with us.
Yeah, good. That's First T, and it's T-E-E, firsttheehawaii.com. And the number is 808-532-0559. And the other one, what is the other one? I didn't write that one down. The other's a contact.
info@hsjga.org.
Okay. I'm going to keep that so that I can repeat that. I always talk about First Tee during the show. So I'm just thrilled that the work you guys do and the kids that, do they want to stay once they kind of, all right, do they graduate from First Tee to go into the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association?
Yes, so we have our golf pathway that we've created for our junior golfers this year. So they kind of start in First Tee Hawaii, go through some of those classes. As they get more advanced, we also have kind of an intermediary program called PGA Junior League with First Tee Hawaii that gets them a little bit more on course and playing some more competitive golf. And then, yeah, the final end goal for us in junior golf in Hawaii is to have been playing and competing in our HSJGA events.
Fabulous. And HSJGA, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the operations manager, Connor Weber, is on. But before I bring Connor in, I just wanted to ask you, Jared, what is an associate PGA?
So Connor and I were considered associate PGA members. That means that we are in the PGA program, we're trying to become full-fledged PGA professionals. We're not trying to be tour players necessarily. We're wanting to impact the game of golf in another way.
In other ways, yeah. So it's, I get it. It's spreading the word. Thank you very much. Let's bring him in now.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Operations Manager Connor Weber, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you want to tell us what Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the HSJGA, is and who can become a member?
Yeah, so our membership is open for juniors ages 7 to 18. And we run tournaments at all the islands. And it's more of our competitive golf environment for some players looking to get into playing golf in a competitive setting.
Okay. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. So for, let's say, high school, we're talking about middle school, high school?
All ages, 7 to 18.
And then,
starting this summer will be our 13 to 18 tournaments, and those actually just opened up yesterday. And so we're getting a lot of registrations already, but we can always have more, and we're looking for more players.
Excellent. Okay, 7 seems very young to come out of. How long have they been in First Tee? I mean, how do you determine that a 7-year-old is kind of comfortable with 18-year-old?
Well, the 7-year-olds will play in the 7-10 age division, or they'll play in our newly formed 9-hole flight.
Uh-huh.
And those are just some kind of introductory ways into tournament golf. But we do have players that come from first tee at that age and then transition into, like, our, say, our 9-hole flight.
Right on. And yeah, so if somebody's child has been with them at the golf course and has been for, you know, since they were 5 or 6, by the time they're 7, they know everything. And
that's right.
Right. And they'll want to, you know, jump right into HSJGA. They've already learned it all. And so you've got the spring tournaments starting up this month. Where are those being held?
That's right. We actually had to cancel the first two due to the weather, but they are back on the schedule. So we have all four open up currently, and they're going to be the 4 weekends starting April 18th. We'll go Big Island, Maui, Kauai, and then, Oahu, and then Kauai.
Okay, you're going in order.
That's right.
So that's fantastic. So these are, do you have people traveling from island to island to be in more than one tournament? Like they were in the Big Island tournament and then they wanted to continue competing, so they go to Maui?
Yes, of course. We have a lot of players that travel for a lot of our events. But, yeah, we also have some travel discounts on that note. We partnered with Outrigger and Enterprise so that the burden of cost can be a little easier when we have all these events that are kind of everywhere.
Yeah, this is great. This is great news. And we can get more information at info@hsjga.org, or you can go to firstteehawaii.com, or you can call 808-532-0559. And I forgot to ask you, Connor Weber, HSJGA Operations Manager, do you have a, like firsttheehawaii.com, do you have a .com for HSJGA?
We do. We have a hsjga.org.
.org. Okay, they're both .orgs, Danielle. or not. You will get there, and the kids, you just learn so much. Do you have an example, without saying anybody's name, of course, of someone who's come in and they were a little bit rowdy and then they settled down?
Many.
Yes. Tell us how you do that.
Yeah, well, obviously, the golf course is not, I mean, sometimes it is, but it's not always the place for loud and kind of erratic behavior. So we do get a lot of players that come from other sports, and they will come to the golf course and not, you know, kind of know what environment they're in yet.
Right.
But really, like Jared mentioned, it's the peer-to-peer mentoring really is what fixes that for us. Not that it's a huge issue, but the peer-to-peer mentoring and teaching is what brings all these players together and able to learn how to be at a golf course.
Right on. You see, that's always been my, you know, feeling about both of yours, you know, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii. It's the kids that actually monitor each other. And if you see somebody, you know, going out of what is an appropriate spectrum, if you're out there making a lot of noise, waving your arms around and running, you know, don't do that on the golf course. To have a child say that to another child, that's where it all starts ticking. It's not that the, you know, the associate PGA is over here with the kids, knocking them down, telling them this. No, they don't need to, because the kids are monitoring each other. And that's the beauty of these programs. So I really recommend, if you've got, you know, kids, it's good for them. And one day when they're at, you know, working and somebody says, you know, we've got this golf thing going on. You want to come over? And you can say, yes, I would love to do that. I'll join you. And you know what? Then all of a sudden, your world gets a little bit bigger and you make more contacts. And it's great. And it's not necessarily that you're just doing it to make more contacts. It's because you enjoy being outdoors and hitting a little white ball around. Oh, dear. Danielle has gone off. All right. Hawaii State Junior Operations Manager Connor Weber, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse and talking with me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having us.
And did I not give you an opportunity to say something that you really wanted to get out there?
I will just finish up by mentioning this. We have some new initiatives this year for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, a new tournament member fee waiver. So if you are a member of another golf association in Hawaii already but have not yet played in HSJGA, all you have to do is pay the membership fee and we will waive your first tournament cost. And then we also have the new nine-hole fight for players 12 and under, and that is at our four spring events. Registration for those are closing soon, so please do sign up. We have space available in the 9-hole as well as the 18-hole flights.
Excellent. And it is firsttheehawaii.com, right?
Firsttheehawaii.org.
Okay, there we go. There, Danielle's first mistake. Firsttheehawaii.org, and the other one is info@hsjga.org. I couldn't understand why there was a com and an org in my writing there. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being inside the clubhouse. A pleasure. Anytime you want to talk about what you're doing, what's open, what's coming up, give me a call.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Aloha. We're going to come back after this. KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All righty. I just need to tell you something. Congratulations to the following Hawaii State Junior Golf Association juniors. They'll be competing at Augusta National Drive, Chip, and Putt. And that's tomorrow. It's April 5th, Sunday. So you can see them, sort of. It's Mie Funakoshi, Lucy Chu, Charlie Bourne, and Shane Murphy. And it's just so exciting. You see, I mean, going from little kind of, you know, youngsters to Hawaii State Junior Golf Association juniors, and then they're competing at Augusta National in the drive, chip, and putt on April 5th this year. It's absolutely fabulous. I'm so excited. And really, it's wonderful. So if you'd like to get involved, new and returning members, please complete the following steps. That's, you'll find that online, and then you can get into it. So the early June HSJGA tournament entries are open at hsjga.org, along with a new session offering from First Tee Hawaii. And there's spots for both tournaments and First Tee. So there's so much happening, and it keeps kids having a good time and getting to know each other and how to be. All right. I think, is Lisa Godet with us yet? Has she called in yet? No. Let's take another commercial break, and I can bring together some more interesting information after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
All right, you know, it finally stopped raining, and more, of course, is coming. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, I believe, unless it shifts again. So this is all coming next week, which is a couple days from now. So to help you through this chaos of the weather, Aloha Power, Kona Low Sale. It's the Kona Low Sale, all right? And this time, of course, this coming week, it's coming from the south. So if you live on the South Shore, you're really going to want to, if you've got a lanai, you're going to want to, it's kind of, I've got cardboard down and I put newspapers down. And so it absorbs whatever leaks in because I bring the shades down, but it still comes through. It did that during the Kona load in both cases, both weeks. So you just have to really be prepared to soak up some water if you're on, especially this time, if you're on the South Shore. So you got to get some help in this chaos. And Aloha Power, Kona Low Sale, has the Honda generators, the pumps, the chainsaws, the whackers, the trimmers. They're available at more than 25% off. We've got service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment. Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right. Okay. First off, you know, congratulations to Mark Rolfing, because he is going to get an award coming up during the Masters, you know, and it's wonderful. So we're looking ahead to the Masters. Contenders are coming up. Golf Writers Association of America, though, is giving out these awards. Scottie Scheffler is getting the Player of the Year award. That's really exciting. Stacey Lewis is getting the Murray Award for exceptional media cooperation, quotability, and communication in pro golf. You know, she's always there. It's the Murray Award. Bud Cauley, I mean, this accident that he was in, broke five ribs, his left leg, collapsed the lung, and he came back from that serious injury, returned to the PGA Tour successfully. And of course, Mark Rolfing, known as golf's Mr. Hawaii, will receive the GWAA William D. Richardson Award, given every year since 1948, to someone who has consistently made an outstanding contribution. Speaking of outstanding, Michelle Wee West is coming out of retirement, but see, there's the caveat. She only has one more year to be able to play. So she's going to take advantage. Michelle Wee West coming out of retirement to play in the 2026 U.S. Women's Open, Riviera Country Club, one of her favorite golf courses. It's happening in June. She's going to use her final year of exemption from her 2014 victory. That's right. Back in 2014, she won. You get all these exemption years, and she's got to use it or lose it. She's committed to competing in the inaugural season as well as being at the Riviera Country Club for the U.S. Women's Open. She's going to play in the WDGL Women's Tech-Based Golf League. That launches in the winter of 2026. We're going to come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Alitzer Godet, author, writer, organizer, and founder of Women's Golf Day. That was 11 years ago. It seems like, I don't know, yesterday or longer. So it's happening again. It is that time of the year. She is an author, a writer, the organizer, and let's see now. On Tuesday, June 7th, is when, I'm not sure what year this was, 400 golf venues in 17 countries hosted the Women's Golf Day event. And, of course, that was also at Ko'olina Golf Course in Hawaii, right? Right here on Oahu. Welcome into the clubhouse, Alyssa.
Hello, Danielle. Great to be with you again. Yes, that time of year.
It's that time of the year. So when was that? It's like 400 golf venues in 17 countries. It was a Tuesday in June on the 7th.
Yeah, it had to be one of the first few years we started, probably 2017, I bet, or 2018 before COVID.
Wow, I know, before COVID. And it's, there's always before or after, right?
Yeah, well, for us too, especially, yeah.
Yeah, so it's happening this year, but I wanted to, for women, this is Women's Golf Day. I wanted to talk to you before we got into Women's Golf Day about your book, Two Good Rounds.
Yeah, those came out a while ago. There's a series, yeah,
yes.
Three of them that were done. Kind of back to back. I took a break from the business side of golf and wrote these books. I did like three years, like one per year.
Now, if I went to the store to pick them up, would I learn something about golf reading your books?
It is interviews. It's very formulaic. It's interesting if you are interested in the first one. I interviewed 33 of the top golfers in the world, male and female. Very light, like. What's your favorite hole? Favorite 19th hole?
Yeah.
Favorite 19th hole memory? Did you ever get a hole in one? And then, so it's very little anecdotes, nice, of these male and female golfers. The second one was, or is, 54 of the top athletes in the world. I used to always see these articles, and you would, like, now and again, and you'd wonder, like, I wonder how, like, a Steph Curry to Wayne Gretzky,
right,
or Michael,
right,
Phelps,
right,
or, you know, Strahan. So we have, yeah, Strahan, Gretzky, and Phelps were actually on the cover, and I think Ernie Els did the forward for us, but that's looking at all these different athletes, and I really did at the time reach out to sports that are outside of the American palette for sports. So we have rugby and cricket,
yes,
Olympic sports, you know, these people, and almost everybody I interviewed was like in the single digits, you know, tennis, what have you. Andy Roddick, I remember, because I actually interviewed Andy Roddick for that book, and I just landed at the airport in Augusta and did it from the airport, you know, lounge or whatever.
Right,
at Augusta.
Right. And now, Roddick.
7 years ago.
Right. So he was also a golfer. He liked to play golf too.
Yeah. Yeah. there's quite a few. And they're really good. We see it. I mean, and even more recently, we've seen ones that when I wrote the book weren't as into it, like LeBron James or Steph Curry, and some of them have really delved into it, like the Kelce brothers play. So, you know, how is that important? I just think sometimes, you know, these people that are culturally relevant, they do have an influence, especially,
yeah,
I think, on younger.
Yeah.
So that's good for us. But I also think, you know, for the ones, especially when they retire, your competitive juices, you can't be performing at that kind of level and they'll all of a sudden go, oh, I'm not going to do anything anymore. I'm just going to sit at home. So I think golf gives a lot of these athletes, especially ones that did high impact and things that you just can't do as you get older, your body just won't withstand
just
it.
Can't do it.
Golf was a way for them to, you know, it's against yourself, so for them it's satisfying that way, and then still has that competitive nature to it so that they could, you know, get that same adrenaline rush.
Exactly. You know, we were talking, yeah, about Tiger Woods earlier in the show, and for him, because he's a golfer and he was performing at the highest level possible on so many different levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, what does he do? Golf is considered the retiring game, you know. That's a tough one, you know. He can't exactly go out and play rugby. My goodness gracious, that's a tough one. That's a...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Be something else. I'm sure he'll, you know, sounds like he's going to do what he needs to do to figure it out. I don't think it's going to be in the sport. I think it's going to be more like meditation or...
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
Something that, you know, can help him. Listen, I can't even pretend. I have, like, probably above average normal person back pains and things.
Right.
You can't have that many operations. It's just extremely difficult. And I feel that he must have been in a world of pain, but yeah, whatever. He's got to go figure it out.
He's got to go figure it out. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm talking with
but
him.
But I don't want to hammer on him, because I think also people, you know, he did, is not right, but he did so much for our sport. And you can't keep looking at him to be the savior of the sport. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He's a human guy, and I think we got to be looking at glorifying, bringing attention to the people that are now in their prime,
yeah,
playing on the tour.
Yeah.
And obviously have reverence for people that accomplished great things, like Arnold and Jack and Gary and Tiger. But it's now going into that era where I think it's false hope to expect that all these injuries and things that person is never going to be able to perform like he did when he was in his, you know, 20s.
It's not possible.
Prime. Like any athlete, like the NFL, NBA, MLB, same thing, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, when you think about it, he lost his dad a long time ago, but when his mom went, that must have, she was always there. She was always there. She was,
yep,
a rock. And, you know, sometimes you just don't recover for my mom passed. And I still think I should call mom and see if she needs something from Costco.
Yeah.
You know, I'm programmed to see if mom needs something from Costco. People just don't leave when they leave. They're still in your head. And then when, yeah, you can't reach out to them, it's like there's a hole in your soul. And it hurts. And then, you know, you do crazy things. So I'm sure he's going to be much better soon. So you wrote two good rounds, 19th hole stories from the world's greatest golfers.
Yep.
Can we still find your books at twogoodrounds.com?
I think Amazon has them. And the third one, the first one is Two Good Rounds, because you just mentioned the second one is Two Good Rounds Superstars, that's the athletes. And the third one is Two Good Rounds Titans. And that's 33 CEOs that own their own golf course. They kind of own it outright. So it'd be like Herb Kohler, who unfortunately has passed now. But, you know, there's some great, interesting people that have built golf courses and created some golf legacy.
That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to getting number three.
Yeah, they're interesting reads for sure.
Yeah. Now, we started this conversation, Alyssa, because you're doing another women's golf day, but it's not a day. You changed it up a little bit, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Post-COVID, we moved it to a week. So during COVID, we, we had to pivot a little, as everybody did, but we created a digital day. And we ended up doing that, but it was dumb luck. I don't know that we had the strategy so planned out, but we did it the last Tuesday in May. So when we came out of COVID, more people were saying, you know, it had caught on by then. And, you know, Tuesday wasn't a convenient day, but people don't realize. Prior to that, in 2016, Me Too had not happened. I did see a shift. There was also, at least in the United States, a very big shift as well towards diversity, equity, and inclusion. I would love to believe that people just do this because it's smart for their golf course. But anyway, we did, I'm sure in some ways, fell in that bucket. And we moved it to 1 week, allowing the golf course to host it on whichever day it wants. We're still going to call it Women's Golf Day because at every single club, whether it's on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, in that club, it will be a Women's Golf Day. But it's May 26th to June 2nd this year. And the golf courses register with us. We give them all the marketing tools, a digital marketing kit. They have a vendor list for wholesale to, like, make it so incredibly easy and turnkey. And I think that was, you know, still predominantly a lot of the golf facilities are men, that are run by men. And this was a way, you know how they say mansplaining? This is womansplaining for them. For them, to help them. You know, and I never really have said this before, but I guess, you know, it's our 11th year, like you said, and it's somewhat frustrating. Like, this is the ultimate Jerry Maguire, help me help you. So anything that's done to get more women and juniors, anybody into golf, of course, as an industry, we love that. But we all know that the data shows that women and juniors are the growth areas. So, you know, things are being done, and this is based off of data. And instead of, you know, we're not trying to go tell them how to teach or what to teach, or we came up with a simple format that, like I said, they register with us. We can then, because they're on the website with their own profile page, the golf course, anybody anywhere in the world can find a location. And as we all know, the way information is shared these days, you could have a lady sitting in Poland whose sister is in New Jersey, and she's like, hey, we hear these stories all the time. So that's why we do it. And then we give them a template and this four-hour format that we know works. And it's an interesting format because we are mixing new and existing golfers. If you and I and a bunch of other people went to go take tennis, we're always with people that are new. We don't know much about tennis. Nobody's like, let's go to Wimbledon. So the first 2 hours, if you play golf, you're going to play nine holes. And this way you're not being compromised. If you're new to golf, you're going to take lessons for 2 hours. It's usually going to be like an hour in the driving range, an hour chipping and putting. And then those two groups get together and they have a social component. And then once again, the club decides if it's public, private, what fee they want to charge. If they want to do it for free, they just have to register with us, and it's a nominal fee. It's for them to register with us.
Yeah.
And then they execute it as they want. But it's like, you know, if we keep cutting the grass, whether the grass is weeds or Bermuda, doesn't matter. It's going to keep growing the same if we don't go a little deeper. So that was the idea behind this, because when some of these things pop up and they're bringing women to a golf course and like a league type of thing without being part of a club, and all those are phenomenal, but it's still not addressing the situation because those women have a great experience while that group went in and rented that golf course and then left, it didn't change how the pro, and when they go back on their own, if they're still being treated in a way that they don't feel is respectful or that they're being negated, if programs aren't created, you know, it just doesn't change. So hopefully that was the idea. And we have had a lot of positive feedback. Like, leagues have been started at golf facilities as a result of this. So, you know, sometimes the catch 22, I think the pros and the club want to see if there's an audience, and the audience wants to see if you're going to, like, do something for them.
So this year, between May 26th and June 2nd, this Women's Golf Day, you have, let me see, a mix of instruction and social time.
Right.
1,350 locations in over 85 countries.
Yep, have done it. Yeah. So we'll get it fluctuates every year, but somewhere between 200-300 to 900 per year, probably, depending on, you know, how things go. And it's also just helping people to understand, because what's happened is, and I'm grateful, listen, any attention we get, but I think it became very celebratory, and a lot of people don't know what it is, and they think it's like, Happy St. Patrick's Day, high five. You know what I mean? Like, it's, no, this is a player development program. It's really a way, we have a hashtag, we've been using it for a long time, bring a friend, because we know that women kind of move in packs and do things, and, you know, the women that play, we're asking them, and we're also asking, like, people to say, go into your golf club and say, hey, are we having this? You know, it's just a way also for people, if you're on any form of social media, it goes crazy. We had 406 million impressions last year.
Wow.
And it's just, yeah, so, like, you could be sitting there, and, yeah, like, I'm of Italian and French-Canadian descent, so every time I see these things in Italy, or, you know what I mean, there, we have a connection to this stuff. And just everybody coming together with everything that's going on right now, I just think we need some feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. and it's great that, I love the fact that you have 2 hours of either playing or taking lessons and 2 hours of getting together socially. And it's
right.
It's perfect. You come off the course, you come out, you know, whatever you're doing, are taking a lesson, you get to sit down and talk with all the people that, you know, you're with.
Yeah, ask any questions.
Yeah.
Where do I get this kind of clothing? Do I
yes.
need to have my own clubs? All the stuff that we hear all the time. And I think sometimes when we're in golf, we forget what it's like to be new. And
good point.
And we all, every single person that you ask is a golfer. I've always asked this question. I feel like every single one of us has a friend that we wish played golf, that we'd love to go sit in a cart and blab with or hang out with, men and women. We all have a friend, like, oh, I wish that, you know, my friend Aaron played golf. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
you enjoy their company, and it would be a great way to just, you know, go spend time.
In this case, it would be perfect to take that person and drag them with you.
Exactly. That's why we have that hashtag, bring a friend. Exactly.
Bring a friend.
In the lesson, and even if they don't get the bug, at least, you know, they're exposing it to them. We're eradicating this, like, golf widow concept.
Yes.
Getting more juniors. Maybe they don't, but they're not going to be hesitant to bring their kids to it.
Yes.
Or to go watch it or whatever it is.
Yes.
Making people feel welcome. We all want to feel welcome and included, you know, at the end of the day.
Yes. And I have to make my sponsors feel welcome and included and give them their due. Thank you so much.
I agree. The backbone of all this stuff.
Don't
think a second that it's not.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alyssa Goday. Thank you so much, Alyssa, for being here and in the clubhouse. And your energy always just takes me in. I hope we'll talk again soon. Okay?
Yeah, definitely. And I told you, I think we know that for sure that one of the courses is a Troon course that's hosting the event.
Yes.
This year.
Yes. It's on the
Princeville.
Yes. And Princeville was one of them, and I think there's one on Maui as well. That's what my next job is to get in touch with them, okay?
Yes, and to, like, any golf courses that are listening, please do reach out to Danielle or to us at Women's Golf Day, and we will get you the email to get you registered. It's easy breezy.
Thank you. Aloha. And Aloha Power, work smarter, faster, and easier with our sale of Honda generators, water pumps, chainsaws, riding and walking mowers, and weed whackers. Maybe you can overcome what the Kona low has done over the past couple of weeks with more rains forecast to come. I don't know that it actually will be here. We'll see. Get yours today, though, at Aloha Power Equipment. They're open Monday through Saturday, EV Lay next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. And the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, health, friendship, and for family, go golf. Or get them over to the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Or to First Tee Hawaii. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.